Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1985. The topic is Q&A, and the title is Help with Addressing Low Back Pain During Exercise and Activity. There you go. I got a text from someone, and this is what it said. Hey Rob, I've always felt like I had a weak low back. Like if I just hinge at the waist and bend over, it feels weak and vulnerable. Did some back extensions yesterday and I'm very tight slash sore from it. Do you think it's a muscle thing? Like muscles around the low back are weak or a previous back injury making it feel that, like that? Background question is, I really enjoyed jiu-jitsu, but you are in that position often. And I had to quit because of it. So if you think it's fixable, that would be awesome. My response, it's fixable. Absolutely. You have a long torso. So this person has a really long upper body. Their torso is very long. So that means they're predisposed to that position feeling weak. However, that can be overcome with direct abdominal work, specifically anti-rotation and anti-flexion movements. If you train the rectus abdominis and obliques, the low back then has proper support and doesn't feel overworked to hold that position all by itself. So in our programming, we would do a shit ton of core work, and that position would slowly get better over the course of 3 to 4 months. We would also include other factors such as addressing hamstring tightness, which could be contributing to lower back stiffness and pain. When doing lower body movements that require a hip hinge, if the hamstrings will not stretch to the proper amount, what they won't do is made up by the back having to do. Additionally, we would focus on our glutes. If our glutes are weak, that again would reduce the support that the lower back has to hold that hinge position. And finally, in the mechanics of hinging, we would want to make sure that we maintain heel pressure instead of toe pressure. So when we bend at the hips, we want to focus on pushing our hips back, not tilting our chest forward. So there you go. So I thought that would be fun to answer in today's podcast, because this actually is common. It's not all the time. It's not like super common, but this has come up many times before. I've worked with over 3,000 clients. I actually have the names and recorded history of over 3,000 clients. I used to teach at the university level. I taught for 7.5 years. I had over 500 students. I taught through exercise physiology and weight training and stuff. And lower back problems, yep, they're around. they're common. So it's common even with people who are athletic, even if they're already active. And that's who I want to kind of address today, is if somebody's already been working out and training, like this person's been training for over 10 years and been a little bit of off and on in regards to like intensities. They've had, you know, some like job changes, you have to move locations, like new births in the family, all those kind of things. You're going to have some fluctuations of intensity in training, but they've been training 10 plus years, not new to it. So they're physically fit. They look good. So they might then wonder, you know, what the hell is going on? I'm a physically fit person. I work out often. Why is my lower back hurt? And it could be any of these reasons. So if you're in that same situation to where when you bend over or hinge the hips and you have low back pain, be like, what the hell? I'm trained. I'm active. What's going on? It would be any of these issues. So hamstring tightness would be something to look at. That would be something we address in like workout warm-ups. There are various types of hamstring stretches. One of the most effective things is actually to sit on a barbell. This is incredibly painful. So disclaimer, if you try this and it hurts, I warned you. But if you set a barbell across the hard supports of a squat rack and then like set it like waist height, then you want to sit on the bar, hold on to the uprights so you don't wipe out and die. But you want to actually roll back and forth like foam rolling on your hamstrings, but you're doing it on a barbell, not a foam roller. And good God, that'll open your hamstrings up real fast. I got that from Smashworks, Trevor Bachmeyer. I think it's Buckmeyer. I think that's how you say his name. It's Smash WeRX. So if you want to check that out on YouTube, S-M-A-S-H, Smash, then W-E-R-X, Smash WeRX. Smash Works is what he says. But that was an amazing cue, amazing drill, whatever, to help open up the hamstrings. I do that before I squat, and if you can endure 30 to 60 seconds of it, you'll then feel like you can put your hands through the floor if you were trying to like bend over and touch your toes. Excellent. But we would address hamstring tightness in workout warm-ups. Glute weaknesses, just want to make sure you're doing your fair share of lower body training that isn't all machine-based. So if your lower body training is leg extensions, hack squat, and leg press, you're not getting enough hinging in there. You're not getting any hinging in there. So you have to do some hinge movements, do some RDL, stiff leg deadlifts, walking lunges, step-ups, regular actual squats. But do some things that involve some hinging and some freedom of hip positioning, where your hips aren't always like slammed into one position and held there. If you're doing that, you're going to be probably getting enough glute involvement in glute work that's not going to be contributing to lower back pain. What I tend to see most often, now for some clients it has been they literally just didn't know how to bend over properly, so we had to go over the mechanics. Some clients it has been glute weakness. Some clients it has been hamstring tightness. So it's been a mixture of those things. But overwhelmingly, more commonly, it's weak abdominal muscles. If we think of our arm, think of our upper arm. On the front side of the upper arm, you have the biceps. On the back side of the upper arm, you have the triceps. We can make that pretty simple to understand. If we think about the middle of our body, the back is only on the back side. There's a whole lot of other area in the core. There's the sides of the core and there's the front of the core. And if we think about making our back control all of that, whew, that's a lot of work. So instead, we want to make sure that the stability embracing the supporting muscles that can help the low back are healthy and doing their job. And that would be your rectus abdominis, like your six-pack muscle. But then we also have muscles along the side of our core, side of our waist, called the obliques. Now, we have internal, external obliques. There's a transverse abdominis. There's a lot of other muscles in there. But staying at ones that we can kind of visually comprehend is we have the six-pack. We see that thing. And that's what most people think when they think of training their abs. But there's also the obliques, which are the muscles on the sides of your waist. So this would be the muscle that if somebody's super lean, above their pant line, they have like a V, like you can see the V taper, the feet V musculature shape, that you would see kind of at the hips kind of leading into the pelvis. Those edges, that V that you're looking at is the obliques. So we would want to make sure that we strengthen the rectus abdominis, strengthen the obliques, so that way they can help support the low back in that bent over position. So when we bend over, when we hinge at the hips, we would like our rectus abdominis to be doing an isometric contraction. So think of a bicep curl where you curl halfway up and stop. And you're just going to hold the weight there. Your bicep is flexed. It's not moving, but it's flexed. That's an isometric contraction. That means it's just holding still while it's contracting. When we hinge at the hips, our rectus abdominis should be doing that. It should be contracted, but then holding its contraction. Just like the bicep doing that helps support that weight to stay in position, the rectus abdominis being in an isometric contraction helps to support the weight of our upper body and prevent that rounding and flexing at the waist. So it helps hold us nice and stable in that hinge position. We don't want only the back muscles having to pull and pull and pull on the rib cage and all along, you know, the backside of the rib cage, having to pull, 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 pull to hold the weight of the upper body. We would also like the isometric contraction of the rectus abdominis to be helping that position as well. And the obliques can do the same thing as well. They can contract to hold position. And that helps to give support to the lower back. So commonly, what I have people do is I will address hamstring tightness in their warm-ups. Well, I'll make sure that they have enough lower body work where the glutes are involved. Like we said, kind of things that have freedom of hip movement, they actually work on hinging. We work on the mechanics to make sure that they're maintaining heel pressure, not toe pressure, when they're hinging at their hips. And then from there, we do a lot of ab work. It depends on how weak the person is. It depends on how fast they want to get better. It depends on their desire and intensity on what we all do. But there are everyday activities that you can do for your core. Then we have gym exercises that are standing, and this is helpful for people with blood pressure issues. Then we have gym exercises that are laying on the ground, and there just adds to more variety. And those are the three main areas that we'll go over in today's podcast. So everyday passive activities, things we can do every day, like literally you can do it while you're sitting here listening to the podcast or whatever you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. But if you're sitting, you can do what I'm about to tell you to do. You can do vacuums. Vacuums, there's going to be some arguments over. So for example, one argument you hear with vacuums is that they don't make your waist smaller. We're not doing it right now to get your waist smaller, so just throw that out the window. Don't worry about that. But vacuums are helpful for learning abdominal control, and then that can help you perform abdominal exercises better. Often when people perform abdominal exercises, especially older men, they just push their stomach out when they do crunches because they try to crunch the whole damn machine of whatever they're doing. And it's like, damn it, you're just making things worse. You're just pushing your belly out and like you're getting a protruding, a distended stomach, and you're just screwing things up. So don't do that. So a vacuum is a great way to learn how to actually pull your abdominal wall inward. And this is very helpful for learning abdominal control that you would also need when hinging at the hips. So a vacuum, if you're sitting, you can play along with this. If you're not sitting, just listen. But before you start, you want to have the sensation of stopping yourself from peeing. That's a weird thing to have just said. But mimic the feeling as if you're trying to stop yourself from peeing. Then, while breathing, because I'm going to do this while I'm talking, I want you to think of pulling your belly button inward like you're trying to pull it to touch your backbone. So you're holding the pee, holding that sensation of stopping yourself from peeing, while pulling your belly button into your backbone. I'm doing that right now. You might be able to hear a small amount of strain in my voice. That's because I'm flexing my abs really hard. But it's not something you can't breathe through. You should be breathing. Do not breathe and get a blood pressure spike and get mad at me if you pass out. Don't do that. So I'm telling you not to do that. So it's not my fault if you do it. But hold the pee, hold that sensation, pull the abdomen in like you're trying to touch your belly button to your backbone, and try to hold that for 5 seconds. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, relax. You would relax, breathe once, twice, three times, a lady. But you would breathe a few times, and then go ahead and try it again. So I usually do 5 reps of a 5 count. So I would hold that pressure again, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, relax, breathe, breathe, breathe. That would be 2 reps. So I'll do 5 reps of 5 counts. And I used to do that when I would train clients. When they were doing a working set, I would do that. I grew up very skinny fat. I was 165 pounds. My belly stuck out further than anything else. And I was just skinny and fat somehow at the same exact time. So when I started to gain weight to gain muscle, like right now I'm 285, so I've gained 120 pounds since I was 18 years old, and I'm actually leaner now, 120 pounds heavier, which is pretty damn good. It's a pretty big accomplishment. So one of the fears I had was while I was doing that my stomach would be distended and big. I wanted to have a leaner, more athletic physique, so I used to do stomach vacuums all the time while I was training clients. And this is not an exaggeration, what I'm about to tell you is dead on true. Is I would train clients, especially in the early years of owning the gym, I would train clients between, let's see, it would be 7 to noon, 5 times, about 10 hours a day. So 10 hours a day. Now, that was face-to-face 10 hours. It wasn't like they spent half the time on a cardio machine. It was face-to-face, we were going through exercises, and it was 10 hours. Anytime a client would do a working set, so if they did 10 sets of bicep curls, 10 sets of lying leg curls, 10 sets of back rows, whatever the, not reps, 10 reps of those things, not 10 sets, but 10 reps of lying leg curls, 10 reps of back rows, 10 reps, whatever. When they would do a working set, I would actually do a vacuum during their working set. So you could think I did maybe 20 working sets per client, 10 clients a day, that's 200 vacuums a day. And I kid you not, I literally did do this. And it was because I was so paranoid about my stomach sticking out. So I would do 200 vacuums a day. And it really made a big difference. I mean, if you look at me in my YouTube videos, I don't look too bad stomach-wise for somebody who's 285 pounds. My stomach doesn't really stick out. And I can contribute a significant portion of that to doing the vacuums and learning abdominal control. So that way I didn't have that extended stomach that I didn't want. The next thing we can do is what's called no feet sitting. So literally, if I'm sitting in a chair, and I'm doing this right now, actually, I just picked my feet up off the ground. You will immediately realize that your torso uprights and your posture gets infinitely better. So when you pick your feet up, you want to pull your heels towards you. Don't try to stick your feet away because that will cause you to round your lower back. So when you pick your feet up, try to think of pulling your heels underneath your hips and then sit like that. And that forces a more upright posture. And you can do that for 5 seconds and put your feet back on the ground. For some people, that's actually a huge challenge. So some of you might try that and be like, that's a waste of time. Good for you if you're advanced past that. Other clients, you're going to, oh man, that's going to kick your butt. You're going to hate that. But literally just picking your feet up off the ground while you're sitting. And again, pull your heels under you so that way it uprights your torso. That can be something to do. You can also do what's called a seated dead bug. Rather than me explaining this one, I would suggest you YouTube search that. But a seated dead bug is a really good sitting abdominal exercise that you can play with. And those are three easy passive ones that you can do intermingled throughout the day. So if this is something you really want to work on, something you really want to improve, you would do small little bouts of effort all day, every day, and just be a little bit of a weirdo in your own head and doing these things all day. But that helps a lot. Standing exercises at the gym, Palof variations. So P-A-L-L-O-F. If you look that up, there are a bajillion Palof exercises. One of the most common ones is Palof rotations or Palof presses. So you can look that up. It's basically a standing anti-rotation exercise, and there are a million variations. They're all wonderful. So blend those in, absolutely. You can do standing cable crunches, and I like to actually do isometric holds in a cable crunch, not actually just the repetitions themselves. I might do a set of 10, then hold for a 10 count. That's a great variation. You can also do hanging ab strap exercises, or if you have what's called a captain's chair, sometimes they're called a VKR as well, but it's this thing that has like elbow pads. You kind of rest your elbows on these pads. They have like handles. Your upper back goes against like a half Bosu ball or like a flat pad. And then your legs are dangling. You then can do like knee raises, like bent leg knee raises, single leg raises, double leg raises. You can do a lot of variations of that. But that all keeps your torso uprighted. So if you have blood pressure problems or concerns, or if you just don't want to lay on the ground, Palof variations, standing cable crunches with isometric holds, hanging ab straps, captain's chair, all those things are great. If you're okay with being horizontal, you can do decline crunches. You can do plank variations. You can do dead bugs. You can even do glute bridge marches because that helps control abdominal positioning while contracting your glutes. There's a lot of benefits in those. But that's a lot of the variety of exercises that we would use. As for training your core, you want to do it 2 to 4 times a week. I have literally done it every single day for months on end, so you can do it more often if you want. You just have to be very okay with being sore. So 2 to 4 times a week is a pretty good frequency. I would aim for 3 to 6 working sets per workout. A working set is you exhausted your abdominal ability. You took maybe a 1, 2, or 3 minute rest, and you tried it again. So a full force effort, the best your abs could do for an exercise, at least 3 hard sets. But you could do up to 6 hard sets, and I've had clients even do more, but this is giving you ballpark numbers. So 2 to 4 times a week, you would do 3 to 6 working sets. So it can be as little as 6 working sets a week or as high as 24 working sets a week. It just depends on where you are now. Just get to something that challenges you, and then over time, try to do a little bit harder challenge so your abs continue to get stronger. And you can also include more core bracing positions in other movements. So for example, if you want to get stronger core, rather than doing a hack squat, do some barbell squats or safety bar squats or camber bar squats, just some kind of free weight squat. You can do goblet hold walking lunges. Those are miserable and wonderful for your core. Just try to pick things that your core has to stabilize and brace and hold position during the movement, along with the core work that you're actually doing. And that's going to help just include more core overall in your programming. So I thought that would be fun to share. So if you are active, if you exercise and you're active and you're experiencing lower back pain, we want to address tight hamstring concerns, glute weakness concerns. Make sure your mechanics of hinging at the waist are correct. You want to have heel pressure when bent over, not toe pressure. So you're going to bend over by pushing the hips back, not the chest forward. And then you're going to do a lot of abdominal work. You can do the passive stuff. You can do the gym stuff. Whatever you do, just do something, and it will slowly improve. If you have any questions about any of this, just shoot me a message on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. You can go to the bottom of the homepage. There's a contact form there. You can send me any messages you want. I thank you for listening. I hope it was really helpful. Give this stuff a try. Let me know what you think. If you have any questions as you go through it. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people that can help. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. And if you like the information in the podcast, you can always find more from us on our social media channels. You can find and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.